Okay, fathers, you may be seated. Thank you very much, and you may go back to your seat. There is nothing impossible for God. You just have to be bold, and God will take control. That's what he's just done there. We're going to rush through things. Let me just quickly get my screen out. Can everybody see what's written on the board there? Sorry, the devil was trying to hold me back. I thought I'd put my laptop in the car just to realize it was only my Bible that was in there. But never mind, the devil is a liar. But it was already in my brain anyway, what I needed to talk about today. So I just want you to focus on this. But before I do that, I'm going to call my favorite girl in the church. Please, let's give her a round of applause. Yeah, I want some activity today. I want everyone to be excited today. Today is not only Father's Day, but we have fathers-to-be that are going to be baptized today. It's a day of joy, you know. It's a day for us to be happy, you know. Women, I want you, every time I'm saying something, I want someone to give a round of applause. I want someone to shout out, wow, you know, we fathers, we deserve it. Today is our day. I am not going to, you know, I'm not going to play the game at all, you know. Today is our day. So we deserve all the glory and all the honor you can ever give, you know, like what's the name told me last week. The only time a man gets a flower is when he's been buried. That is sad, you know, because it's what we've grown up with, that men don't get flowers. Or if you get flowers, it's a sign of weakness, you know. But men too do love flowers, you know. We love good things, you know. I like to put a flower on my, you know, reading table and look at it and look at the card that is signed from it. So please, if you have not given a man a flower in your life, your dad, your uncle, please today, let this be a change to new things, you know, because we're in the 21st century. So men do deserve flowers. So I have picked this girl because she's my favorite. And the reason why she's my favorite, and I will tell you, there was one day she came to church and she wrote me a little paper saying, Elder Yemi, and what she wrote in there is that she's thanking me because every time she says she walks into the church, I greet her, I smile with her, and that really is what is important for us as adults. When we come to church, you know, we as parents, we are the role models, you know. What we do is what our children will see, you know. So that really gladdens me. So every time I always challenge her to make sure she gets to church right on time. But she blames Newton and the brother for taking time in the bathroom. I want to say happy Father's Day to all the dad here. We honor you this Father's Day. And I just want to tell you, I'm a father as well, so whatever I'm saying, I'm applying it to myself. I just want to tell you that you're all very important, first of all, as men and as fathers. And even as we know it, that not everyone, you know, probably has had a good father or a good relationship with the father. But if you're here today, it means there is definitely a plan and a purpose for you, because we are in the presence of our Heavenly Father. And that's the one that matters most. Our earthly father matters, but our Heavenly Father is what we all look towards. And so we're glad today that, you know, that is where we find ourselves. So it doesn't matter whether you've had a good relationship or a bad relationship, our Father who art in heaven is there for us. And it's a matter of time, that heart, that wound is going to heal, because you're not only looking to your earthly father, you're also looking to your Heavenly Father. So the first reading for today is taken from the book of Psalm 128. And I want you to just follow me. So it says, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Indeed, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. That is the word of God for men. His instruction to us is that we should fear the Lord. And when we fear the Lord and we walk in his ways, he will bless us abundantly. And that is why when you look at what I have here, it says a father's triangle. And as I'm sure you know, a triangle is just a basic shape, but it comes in three parts. So this three parts is what we as fathers, we represent. You know, when you look here, down here, it's the foundation. And that foundation is called instruction. On the other side, you have correction. As a father, we lay the foundation, which is we're meant to give instructions. We're meant to guide them in the way that they should go, our children. And we also have to correct them when they do something wrong. We have to correct them so that they can adjust their attitudes and their behaviors. And when you've done that, what do? You give them affection, a dose of love. That is the fundamental principles of which a man should operate. And this is not something I have phantomed out. This is in the word of God as we will see it. So let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And I will start to read from verse 11. First of all, I want to tell you as fathers, if you're here today and you don't know how to handle your son, or you feel it's a bit of a challenge for you managing your son, God has already given you the manual. And the manual is in the book of Proverbs. I never knew as well. Like with all things, we learn every day. As I was preparing for this message and I was thinking, what can I tell fathers? You know, you read everywhere. The things that are portrayed about fathers, it's so difficult. It's so, at times, shaming. It's like, you know, we're just there as a figurehead and to do things for other people. But that is not what God's plan is for us as fathers. And this actually is demonstrated by this triangle. But before I go on to talk more about the triangle, let us look at what Proverbs says. So as a father, whenever that challenge comes, whenever that difficult time comes, you need not go far. Because every time you open the book of Proverbs, it starts with my son. It is an instruction for us as fathers to help guide our children, give them instruction, correct them, and also give them affection. So I will move quickly to verse 11, Proverbs chapter 3. It says, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or Lot is reproved. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. So you can see where this triangle has come from. It says, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord. And that is why the areas we're going to look at, the first one is instruction. What is an instruction? An instruction informs a child. It equips a child for life by the principles you lay down. Because you give them instruction, you want him to do this, to do that, to do that. It is an instruction. And that is very important. You know, for you young men, you know, that are growing up, for us too as fathers, we're constantly lying every day. Don't let anyone tell you, no, I'm too old. You don't need to tell me anything. No. Every day you are in this world that God has given you bread, you are alive. So as a man, do not say, oh, my dad is an old man. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I bet you in a couple of years, you will be in that same situation. So that knowledge, that wisdom is given you, hold it close to your heart so that you can meditate on it, you can reflect on it, because those are instructions that will help you as you move forward in this world. In this world where we live now, people don't like instructions anymore. And what happens when there are no instructions? We make mistakes. And when we make mistakes, some of those mistakes are costly. And that is what God is saying to us. As fathers, we must make it our duty to give instructions, not only to the sons, but also to the daughters. We must give instruction, because when you give instruction, it equips you for what the world is going to throw at you. Secondly, we look at correction. You cannot have an instruction without a correction. Because take for example, when you're looking through a manual to do something, to fix something, the instruction is there. But at times, what do? We think we're sharper, we do it in our way, and then what do we go back to? We go back again to the manual to read. What did line 4 say we should do? So you cannot separate instruction from correction. Correction will adjust your attitude. So when your father corrects you, it's to help you to adjust your attitude. Adjust the choices that you will make, because he knows better. He knows what is good for you. And that is why he has to correct you. And when he corrects you, you're then in a place of strength, because you already know. You know, imagine being a child and no one corrects you. No one gives you instruction. How do you feel the world will be? The world really doesn't care about you. They want you, in fact, to make mistakes so that they can laugh at you, so that they can say, oh, where did he come from? Who are his parents? And that is why it's very important that you children, you listen to correction. Because when you listen to correction, it helps you make good choices. And then the last part, which is affection, that is what brings stability to a child's life. Affection, a dose of love, assurance, affirmation. Those are the things that gives you stability. Because you know, when you hear it, I'm sure you think, when your dad, William, tells to you, oh, you're a good boy, you're doing well, it gives you some kind of gladness in your heart, you know, because that's what you will want to hear. So when you look at this triangle, you see all the things executive, the principal said to them, oh, you will be like your dad. One of them stuck out and stomped. Oh, my dad, no way. The other son, they called him, oh, you will be like your dad. He busted out his chest and said, yes, I want to be like my dad. Fathers, the reaction we will get, and they call our children forward, will be dependent on whether you have given them the right instruction, you have corrected them, or you have given them the right affection. When a father is in the house, no matter how gentle, tough it is, it revolves around his tribe. It's constantly giving instruction, constantly correcting. You might feel it's too much, or it's unbearable, or it doesn't love you. That is the lie of the enemy. Because the enemy wants you to feel that the only father you know, because we cannot see our heavenly father. So the father you see is a representation of God in your life. So if you do not listen to his instructions, to his correction, and to his law, whichever way you use that law, how can you look up to a heavenly father you don't see? And that's what God is telling us as fathers, that as we have this difficult task, that we should ensure that what our children will become, we are the ones that lay that foundation for it. When you look further down into the book of Proverbs, it was written by Solomon, very wise. He made so many mistakes. But in those books that he has written, there is wisdom there. They said Solomon had wisdom like a grain of sand in the sea, all put together, none matches the wisdom of Solomon. And I'm sure none of us here have that kind of wisdom. So that shows us that the book of Proverbs is there for you as a father to read through. You know, in some places, they start reading every chapter in the book of Proverbs every day, because there is some wisdom you will take from it on how to live your life, on how to go. It is all in the book of Proverbs. Some of us might say, yes, it's in the Old Testament, but it is still applicable to how we need to train our children today. A parent is the first teacher in a child's life. The training of our children as a father is our duty. Let's look at Deuteronomy. Chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. I'll just read it for you, what it says. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. I'm reading from 6, chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. Listen very carefully to what God says. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your son and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So when you look at what God is telling us there, it says training of our children should be part of our everyday life. Every day you make sure there is some form of instruction that you're given to your children, some form of correction, because at times they do not know, They think they do, but in fact, they do not know a time. So we as fathers, we have that moral obligation, responsibility to constantly make sure that we're correcting them, but correction with love. When we do that, we will see a change. And when you do that, the blessings is there for you. My next question says, what are your goals as a father for your children? I'm sure we all have different goals. Some say, I want my daughter to become a doctor. I want my son to become an engineer, a lawyer, to marry, have a good wife, but prosperous. All those things are important, but there is one thing that beats it. Have a goal for your son or your daughter to know God and to live in God's way. Nothing surpasses that. When they know God and they live according to God's way, the blessings are already there for them. We know these days it's very difficult to force children to do certain things. But when it's done from a point of correction, from a point of instruction, from a point of love, they would see it and realize that it makes sense for them. God says that we should teach our children, you know, in the fear of the Lord also. The bottom of that triangle that says in instruction constantly equips you as a child as you move along the journey of life. Correction, like I've said, adjusts behavior, your thought patterns, and strengthens you in life. When you look at verse 11, it says, correction is a proof that the father loves the child. A child you don't love, and I've never seen a father that does not love his child. If you don't love, you won't correct. But the word of God says, whom the love loves, he corrects. There's another version to it that, you know, when you understand, even we as fathers, God is constantly correcting us, asking us to have a time to reflect on our behaviors, on our attitudes to life. Nowadays, kids see correction as a way of their father too harsh on them. But this word says, you know, father, you better be prepared. If you do not instruct, if you fail to correct, if you fail to show love, it leads to disgrace. It leads to shame. It leads to an eye known. And today, God is canceling all those bondages against us as fathers that would not allow us to correct our children. When you want to see a good society and you look at the men there and you look, like Thomas said last week, like father, like son, you will see the traits if that boy has done well from his father. I cannot underestimate it. The society we're in now does not have a role for a father anymore. But that is part of the plan of the enemy. I can assure you today, as I know, and I'm talking as a father that has a son, I put in time to instruct him, to correct him, and to show him love. When I was giving him instructions, he thought it was difficult. He thought, this, my dad, is unreasonable. He does not understand 21st day century parenting. But I can tell you one thing for now. He is benefiting from it because he is enjoying his adult life of being in a university and understanding how to make the right choices, how to make, to know what is good, what is bad. The only way he could have got that, the government will not teach him. The politician would not tell him. It would only come from his father. So if you're a father today, don't give up on your son or your daughter, no matter how difficult it is today. Be prepared, and God will strengthen us as we father to our sons and to our children. In one of the articles I read as I prepared for this, it says, the job of a coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they have always wanted to be. I'm sure if you like football, some of us, we've watched All or Nothing. When you see the amount of pressure the coach puts on some of these footballers, that they think because they have talent, they can do whatever they want. But your talent does not guarantee you success. But the instruction, the correction, the show of love is what will guarantee you progress. So in whatever you do, as a son, as a daughter, make sure the words of your father is close to your heart. You meditate upon it. You reflect upon it. And you know, we're not monsters. You can come to us and say, Dad, can I have a conversation with you? This is how I see things. And because God has given your father wisdom, he will be able to apply wisdom to that situation. But when you ignore him, when you don't tell him, the world will give you a solution that will not guarantee you the blessings that God has in store to you. So I want today to urge you young men that are being baptized. I'm so glad because I know God definitely has greater plans for you. More than what you can fathom, do not be afraid. Let your father be your best friend. Even if it's hard on you, make sure you're close to him. Because when you're close to him, you will see as God will be opening ways for you. It's the same thing for daughters. I do not differentiate. Maybe I might be a little bit soft because they say girls are emotional. I take away the emotion beat and focus on instruction, on correction. And I show my love in a different way. Mothers, I don't want you to get this wrong. My challenge is that mothers are not aligning with the fathers. And you know, we men, we get frustrated very quickly. Or we just push things to the back of our mind. But my message to you mothers today, and I really beg you, we are in a difficult world. If we want our children to succeed, if we want our children to have prosperity, you need to let their father discipline them. You need to let their father correct them. I have seen so many places where, you know, when the father wants to do something, the mother comes, oh, you're brutal, you're this, you're that. And what does that child see? That's what that child sees, that's what my father is. But believe me, in the world is more brutal than whatever your father would have been to you. So mothers, I am begging you today, as a father, because I know I have that quarrel every time with my wife Jackie. If there is one thing I quarrel with her over, it's on the discipline of the children. But I can testify today that the fruits that we're seeing is as a result of following this fundamental principle. So as men, if you're here today, make sure you do have that conversation with the wife to say, if we want our son and our daughter to get to a place where when we look, all we will do is give glory to God, we must adhere to this discipline. I know it's very difficult. You know, when I was growing up, my mother made sure there was discipline. My father did it in a different way. And, you know, we're not saying that we need to beat the children or we need to whack them. No, there are different tools by which instruction, correction, and affection can be done. It's not about beating. But I will tell you something today. As a boy, if my parents did not beat me, I wouldn't be where I am standing today. I'm telling you, discipline is important in a child's life. A child that is not disciplined will not know how to make the right choices. And my mother disciplined me, my father disciplined me in his own way. But it made me, when I was faced with situation of either going completely wayward or going the right way, whoa, that thing came running through my mind. So as parents, as fathers, let us please ensure that we understand what it is to discipline our children. I will round up in summary. What does fathers need? We need three things. If you give us those three things, not only the children, the mothers-in-laws, and all the mothers are sure, you will make us happy people. We need respect. Please, we need fundamental respect. It is nothing big. When you give a man respect, you elevate him to the level of importance of what God has elevated him to already. And when you elevate him to that position, you've already given him that burden. And so, because he wants to prove that because my children are giving me respect, my wife is giving me respect, I must do what is right. Nowadays, we know what is happening. There is no respect anymore. Everybody wants to be equal. That is what they think. But it's nothing about equality. It is a simple principle. Please let us respect the fathers to our children. The second thing a man wants is, please give him a pat on the back for doing a good job. It's difficult out there. I work in the corporate world, and I know what men go through compared to women. What a man needs is, oh, thank you, you're doing a good job. Thank you, well done. You know, you're trying. It gives us a different level of boldness. But when everything is, you did not do this right, you did that wrong, you could have done that, a man just folds up. But when you say, oh, well done, when you know, when I was growing up, when my father comes into the room from work after a hard day, we all run over to him. One person takes a suitcase, another one goes to bring him water, or, you know, it is a way to show that we appreciate what they're doing. It is a difficult task to be a man. I'm not saying mothers looking after the children or making sure they're loved and comforted is not important. But we men, we face so much challenges and struggle. And lastly, what do we want? We want you to take the instructions we've given you so that you can live in a godly way. So that not only you as children, but also the wives can live wisely. I have never seen till today, and I know, I mean, my parents, my mom is 92 now, my father passed away at 89, they were married for more than 50 years. When in a household, in a family, you let the father be the father, you will see the prosperity of God. When you show that you could be the one, the financial holder of the wallet, but if you let a man be the head as God has put him, God in his infinite ways will bless you. So fathers, I want to say to you, our work is not done yet. Whether your child or your son is 40 or 50, you still have to follow these three principles. And I pray today that as we celebrate Father's Day, for those that have not had a good father or a good relationship with a father, if you're here today and you know such people, please feel free to reach out to them so that God can indeed bless you and bless us. Happy Father's Day.